Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of The Negotiation. I'm your host, Todd Embley, and today I sit down with David Perez de Rossier, director of the Beijing chapter of the Canada-China Business Council. The CCBC has been a cornerstone of Canada-China business relations for over four decades, supporting Canadian enterprises as they navigate opportunities and challenges in China. David shares his perspective on the chamber's work, its advocacy efforts, and the evolving landscape of bilateral trade and investment. The conversation also touches on the current state of Canada-China relations, recent provincial-level engagements such as Saskatchewan's trade mission to China, and the sectors where Canadian businesses are finding the strongest opportunities. David also previews CCBC's upcoming AGM, an important gathering for business leaders and policymakers to exchange ideas and chart the path forward. Whether you're a Canadian business eyeing China, a policymaker, or simply someone interested in international trade, this episode provides practical insights into one of Canada's most important commercial relationships. Enjoy.
The advice would be engage, engage, engage. Come, take time to visit. Observe, because you hear so many things, right? You will hear so many things in media from different perspectives. Come here and made up your own mind, because you understand better what your business is all about. And nobody can understand it as well as you do. So if you come here and you go underground and you meet with people and you observe and you see how the market is evolving and you learn about policies, you will be able to take the best decision for your business.
Home to over 4 billion people, the Asia-Pacific region boasts one of the most powerful consumer markets on the planet. Not only is it home to half of the world's under 30 population, but it's also home to more than half the world's internet users. It's a market that no globally minded organization should ignore. But entering markets like China, Japan, or Southeast Asia is no easy task. Just ask the likes of Microsoft, Google, Uber, and Facebook. However, times are changing, and with the right partners, doors are slowly opening as more and more companies find success growing their key markets in APAC. I myself spent 8 years in China, mostly as a venture capitalist, helping early-stage tech companies grow in the Asia-Pacific market successfully. This show is dedicated to uncovering and examining successful Asia market entry and growth strategies by interviewing the experts who've done it before and truly understand what it takes to be successful in the region. My name is Todd Embley, and welcome to The Negotiation, brought to you by WPIC Marketing and Technologies. David, welcome to The Negotiation Podcast.
Thank you very much, Todd, and apologies for the complex name that I have and for the French accent. I'm originally from Montreal, Quebec, so I grew up speaking French, as you can hear, but I'll do my best to speak a fluent and proper English for this podcast.
You bet. It's never your fault. I know that, you know, especially for me, growing up and being Canadian and having obviously studied French, I should be better than I am at saying the de Rossier. It's almost like I have to channel my inner Colombian to get the Perez de Rossier. And it's Rossier. But I digress, as I usually do. But I appreciate that, but it's not your fault. I will try to do better. Now, where in the world are you? And I already alluded to this, but are you currently in Beijing?
So I'm based in Beijing. I've been traveling a lot recently because, as you know, there's so many opportunities in China and different provinces. But my main location, our representative office is based here in Beijing. So we have two offices in China, one in Beijing, one in Shanghai. And I'm in charge of the one in Beijing. And we have also five offices in Canada. So I used to run our Quebec office for 2 years before being relocated to Beijing in the middle of last year.
Now, tell us a little bit about your role as director of the Beijing chapter of the Canada-China Business Council.
Right. So the role here, Beijing being the capital, right, it's a significant role in the perspective of advocacy and government engagement. So I would say that plays a takes a significant portion of my time in terms of engagement with different stakeholders. We can think of the embassy. We can think also of different levels of government as well. It really representing the interests of our members because we are a nonprofit, non-governmental organization. We are only exclusively representing the interests of businesses that are CCBC members. So that plays a significant role. The other thing that is very important in Beijing is we not only have the Canada-China Business Council hat, but we also have the CanChan Beijing hat, which means that we also try to engage and build activities for the Canadian community here. As you lived in China for many years, you know there's a very dynamic community. So we try to set platforms for them, Canada Day, Christmas parties, where we can regroup the community together, celebrate their Canadian culture, wave the Canadian flag, and really regroup a bunch of amazing people. So I would say this is the two main things that I would do. But other than that, there's so many other types of engagements that we will be asked to do in terms of leading missions, in terms of organizing the AGM that we will talk a little bit more later on. In terms also of delivering services to our members. So a very important part of my job is also to develop a sustainable and strong network throughout not only Beijing, but also throughout North China.
For listeners who may not be familiar, what exactly is the role of the CCBC in fostering Canada-China trade and investment?
So CCBC, we are what we like to say about CCBC is that we are the voice of the Canadian business community here in China. We often, because Canada is composed mainly of SMEs, we also have larger multinational corporations that are members. But for SMEs, often they don't have a presence on the ground, right? So we are their eyes and ears on the ground to really help them understand what are the new policies, what are the changes, what is happening in the market, guide them. Give them advice, help them understand a little bit the complexities, which region is might be more appropriate for what they're trying to do in China. And on the other side, for the multinational corporations, we're going to be more on the advocacy front, promoting their interests in China, promoting market access, promoting potentially new policies that could benefit the attraction of foreign direct investments or Canadian investments that could help foreign businesses grow their presence, grow their operations, introduce them to potential partners and potential companies with which they could work. So I would say that our job is really to be not only the voice, but the eyes and ears of the business community, the Canadian business community here in China. Now, this is only a small proportion of what we're doing, because we also provide a lot of platforms such as the AGM and other significant events where we give the opportunity to Canadian companies to share their expertise, knowledge. We've been working a lot with WPIC that you know really well in on trying to share more perspectives on what is happening in the e-commerce sphere, what is happening in terms of trends from Chinese consumers. We observe that it's going away from luxury, going more towards lifestyle, and we believe that Canadian businesses are well positioned to take advantage of those transitions, right? But it doesn't mean because you're a lifestyle company that you can't just come to China and sell millions of dollars, right? Because their competition is so fierce. So for us, it's really to help them understand, guide them, introduce them to the right organizations, companies that will really enable them to succeed and kind of have a turnkey solution. So when I was discussing a little bit earlier, one of my job and the job also of my colleague in Shanghai is to really develop a sustainable and strong network where if we have a company that would benefit from a specific introduction, we can always find a way to put them in touch.
You touched on this. I'd like to know more about the services and the support that the Chamber provides to Canadian companies operating in or looking at operating in China.
For a company that is trying to operate in China, often it will really depend on what are the needs of a company, right? And often we will have potential members that will come to us and ask, what are the services that you provide? And our key question to them is, what do you need, right? What is the strategy that you foresee in order to enter the Chinese market? Because that will really help us provide them with, I would say, an adapt strategy and adapt services. But if we look at the broader scheme of things, I would say that number one, it's really guiding them through all the policy changes, right? So market entry advice, market insights. These are often the two main services that we will be providing to especially SMEs. Now, after that, it's really going to be underground assistance. So let's say you're a Canadian company, you're traveling for the first time to China, you would like to meet three or four potential partners. We're going to be able not only to introduce you to them, but often we're going to be able to join you for those meetings to make sure that the meetings are productive, that you can understand a little bit better what the other company is doing, and really help you build that network that can be sustainable. So that's one aspect that we are doing. The other aspect, it's often we're going to be able to drive what we call a small mission, where we bring different companies from the same sector, and we're going to be able to visit different cities and different partners, and also conduct advocacy for that sector. So I give you an example. In the last 2 years, we had the Women in Business missions, where we focus mainly on consumer goods, and we went with them and met different e-commerce companies. We went with them and introduced them also to potential trading partners. We set meetings for them as well with government officials to really understand the policies as well. So this is really, I would say, a tailor-made service that we can also provide to Canadian companies. Now, on the other side, we also have Chinese companies that are trying to do business in Canada. And maybe I would touch base a little bit on that. We have approximately 10% of our members that are Chinese companies trying to do business in Canada. For them, it's mainly going to be market insights, understanding Canadian policies, understanding Canadian business culture, because you lived in China, you understand that the two business cultures are so different, right? And there's a lot of learning. There's a lot challenges when you're trying to enter from a Canadian company trying to enter the Chinese market, and then vice versa. And what we really advocate for is keep engaging, keep visiting China, keep learning, right? Keep trying to find your niche, because it's such a big market that if you try to enter the whole market, it's going to be very difficult for you. So try to find where's the right spot for you, but you cannot find it by traveling 48 hours to China, right? You need to travel constantly. You need to meet different people. You need to have a better understanding. And you really need to spend time here to develop those relationships, because developing relationships is crucial and it's key, especially in a market like China and in many other Asian markets as well. So for us as well, it's really when those people are not there, right? To maybe guide them on how you maintain that relation by being long distance, right? When there's a national holiday, send a WeChat message to your business partners just to wish them well for the national holiday and to their family. Touch base with them constantly, you know, helping them understand those cultural differences as well that can often look a little bit, I would say, they don't look that important, but on the long run, they will play a significant role. So for us, it really goes from, you know, very early steps of a Canadian company to maybe a company that has been operating here for 30 years. They have their whole network. For them, it's really provide them with opportunities and platforms to engage with their partners, right? So let's say there's a multinational corporation. They've been operating in China for 30 years. They already have their network, right? But can we provide them with a platform to meet with the district government, to meet with different ministries, where they don't need necessarily to take their own tokens in order to drive those meetings, right? They can use the CCBC platform to drive those kind of engagements. So it, you know, in a nutshell, we have specific services, but it really depends on what a specific company needs. I don't know if I answer precisely, but it's a very complex question.
It's very true that the subtleties of the societal norms are extremely important, more important than you might think. You know, if a business partner of yours, if their child was recently married or recently had a baby, you might want to give them a red envelope with some cash and say, this is for your son or this is for your daughter and congratulations and these things. And you will have no idea what you have just done and how important it is to show that you, because they're measuring you as a person, whether they want to do business with more than they are sometimes as a company or a product or a service that they want to do business with. And especially when it comes to international trade, international business, international relations, it becomes even more important that they trust you as a person in order to do business with more than they would even trust your company because of that international versus domestic aspect to the relationship. Now, I want to touch on advocacy because it's a big part of CCBC's mandate. Can you share some of the recent advocacy efforts and policy recommendations that the Chamber has put forward to the Canadian government?
Sure. So I would say that being in Beijing, this takes probably 80% of my time, 70-80% of my time, especially in recent years. You know, we've been facing a lot of headwinds in our bilateral relations. We're very glad about the re-engagement that we've noticed recently. And I think that in the last 3-4 years, we've been advocating for high-level engagement. And we're very pleased to see that resuming progressively. Because we often hear in Canada, like-minded partners. Well, the reality is that like-minded partners like Australia, UK, New Zealand are all engaging, right? Their state leaders are coming to China, their ministers are coming to China, and Canada was always a little bit behind. But you know, the recent engagements of the Vice Minister of Commerce Li Chenggang visiting Canada, Vice Minister of Foreign Affairs Ma also visiting Canada, the restart of JETC discussions, of EPWG discussions as well, have all been very positive signals, and we have been advocating on that. And that was one of the key policy points that we had a few months ago when Carney was elected as prime minister and we had a new administration. We saw the possibility for a recalibration, right? And initially, everyone was using the term reset, but recalibration might be the best term in terms of going forward, because there's a lot of things that needs to be done, right? The lack of engagement, as you mentioned, in the last 4-5 years, means a lack of communication. So now there's trust that needs to be rebuilt. There's mutual understanding that needs to be rebuilt, right? There's mechanism that needs to be reestablished. So that's another aspect that we are pushing on. It's reestablishing existing mechanism that were there before, right? So on economic complementarity, related to financial services, agri-food is a very important sector for us, especially right now. If we look at the data from the General Administration of Customs from last year, in terms of Canadian agri-food products exported to China, right now we have more than $8 billion in goods that are tariffed at different levels, right? 25%, 100%, and some others in between, right? And that really affects Canadian farmers. And we've been very encouraged by recent visits from Parliamentary Secretary Cordy Bloors, as well as Premier Mo from Saskatchewan, to really drive forward re-engagement, drive forward advocacy efforts, drive forward communicating the importance of the Chinese market to Canadian farmers and Canadian companies, right? And these are all have been very positive messages that we've been advocating on, and we will keep pushing for that. But we're very pleased to see positive steps in that regards. Now, there's other aspects where we keep advocating for. One of them would be a clearer understanding of sectors that are open to foreign direct investments, because we do believe that in certain sectors, Chinese investments can really benefit the Canadian economy, right? And it was very interesting to hear Prime Minister Carney talking, I think it was at the Council of Foreign Affairs in the United States a few days ago, where he mentioned three sectors where there's a possibility to work on that front, right? There was some sort of the sector of energy, agri-food, and also basic manufacturing, right? But to have a clearer understanding of what is the framework related to foreign direct investments could also really help us potentially find Chinese companies that could invest jointly with Canadian businesses that could benefit the Canadian economy. And I would say another point that we really advocate for is, as you know, people-to-people connections are extremely important. And of course, there's aspects of geopolitics, such as the war in Ukraine, that are really affecting international travel, and this is out of our control, right? But to have more connections is always a positive thing. To be able to travel more easily between Canada and China, to have access easily to visas, to meet partners, that drives more and better business as well. And that you know, we're still, I think, recovering from not only the geopolitics, but also recovering from post-COVID. But the last week, it was announced that they're going to resume, Air Canada is going to resume direct flights between Shanghai and Toronto next year. So these are all positive signals and positive messages that we're very glad to see. And now I think going forward is just to keep repeating those messages and keep being a supporter, right? We are in the middle of the two governments, and we just want them to work efficiently together so we can do more and better business. And for us, it's just to try to be that bridge and where we can benefit or provide platforms that really enables more of those connections, more of those dialogues, where we can share some insights from our members, we can share some perspectives as well, some challenges, some opportunities as well. So going forward, we're going to keep doing that on a regular basis.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. As you're saying that, I'm thinking, you know, it is not that dissimilar to what we do at the negotiation, and what this podcast is about is kind of bridging the cultures and bridging information and bridging knowledge. You know, we don't work at it as hard as you do all day long, and we certainly don't have a lot of advocacy components, you know, that we do within the government, although that would be pretty awesome. But yeah, it's very similar. That's interesting. You've touched on the state of the Canada-China relations, but I do have this talking point queued up of something that I did want to ask and give you an opportunity to just speak to and be able to characterize the current state of Canada-China relations, particularly from a business and trade perspective.
So I would say that the current state is warming up, right? I don't think we need to touch base on what happened in recent years. Everyone is aware of it. I think it's more important to look forward in terms of what are the opportunities. I would say that from a CCBC perspective, we've seen more executives traveling back to China in the last year. There's been more engagement on the business front. Also, what we observe is that our competitors, such as other countries, UK, Australia, New Zealand, are engaging a lot, extensively, and their business leaders are here constantly. So for us, the perspective is the business community can play a leading role in terms of driving forward that warming up of bilateral relations by having constant engagement. Now, it's warming up, but there's a lot of work to be done, right? There's still outstanding issues. We can think of tariffs on Chinese EVs and tariffs on Canadian agri-food products. And this is government to government that it will be resolved, right? The business community is there to provide some insights and perspectives, but we cannot necessarily resolve those issues. What I would say is that the positive signals are putting, and the word that I often hear from the business community, it's carefully optimistic. We're not yet optimistic about the prospects of going back to, you know, the golden years. And I think everyone is understanding that the world has changed and the perspectives have changed. But people, I think, are optimistic about we're going in the right direction, right? We're going in the right direction in terms of driving more business opportunities. And what is going to be very interesting to follow up is there's going to be the new 5-year plans released later this year. And that will come with a set of new policies, a set of new targets, a set of new opportunities for foreign businesses that are trying to do business here. And our job will really be to try to take all of this information, summarize it in a way that is easy to digest, and share it with our members so our members can really find the best opportunities for them to do more and better business in China. Because the perspective is the Chinese market, yes, it's a challenging market, but it's a market with a lot of opportunities. But it's not a market that you should take, that you should look at in a very simplistic way. It's a market that has so many layers, right? And you just go to the Greater Bay Area, all the integrations in between Hong Kong, Macau, and Guangdong, all of the policies that are being unfolded there in terms of connecting financial services, mediation, access for foreign businesses, supply chains, logistics, all of e-commerce, all of these new sets of measures are providing great opportunities. But the perspective is also, because we are re-engaging and we're seeing more and more business coming back to China, we're still in that transition phase, I would say, from a business perspective, where people are getting up to date to where are things right now in China. And for us, it's really also helping them in terms of, I'm focusing more on the business community now, helping them understand what are the opportunities, while also playing a role in helping the two governments getting insights from what are the opportunities, challenges, to help them focus in their working groups, in their engagements on finding agreements and solutions where we can work together to provide a more stable and predictable business environment for businesses, because predictability is the most important aspect for a business. So
yeah, I was going to double down on that if you didn't. Okay, Saskatchewan recently sent a delegation to China. What are your takeaways and reflections on that visit? And what does that signal about provincial level engagement with China?
The echoes that we had is that the meetings were very productive, very positive. And I think we saw Premier Mo going back to Canada and having positive messaging as well. I think the fact that it was the first provincial leader to visit China in quite some time from Saskatchewan is maybe a step in the right directions for also other provinces to come to China as well. And each province will have their own partnerships with different Chinese provinces as well. And what I observe is that I've been to Chengdu a few months ago for municipal engagement, from cities to cities engagement. Cities from other countries are engaging, right? When you have a sister city agreement, I could meet cities from the United States, cities from New Zealand, Australia, Latin America, Europe. They're engaging with their partners, right? So the fact that Premier Mo came will not only enable potentially other provinces, but also municipal level leadership to re-engage and to, I would say, not reestablish, but reboost their existing partnerships. Now, this is more on the engagement side. In terms of solving issues, I think this was a clear message that China is important, that China is an important market for Canadian farmers, Canadian businesses, and that there's a commitment to resolving current issues, that there's a commitment of working together, that there's a long way to go, and there's a lot of work to be done. But, you know, this follows also the previous visits that I mentioned from Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Ministry of Commerce to Canada as well. So for us, just to see that constant engagement, it's really refreshing, number one, positive. And the fact that also that Premier Mo mentioned going back to Canada, that there's the prospect of a ministerial visit to China later this year is very encouraging for our businesses. Apologies, for our business and our members. So for us, we just hope to see more of that engagement to really help resolve, because without engagement, you can get nothing done. So,
okay. Now, from your vantage point in Beijing, what are you seeing as the top commercial opportunities for Canadian businesses in China today?
There's a few key sectors, right? So Garnet talked about energy. We are expected to see maybe 6 to 7 billion in exports of crude oil this year to China. LNG is starting to be exported to China too. So energy will be a key sector, right? And we can also think of hydrogen. So that's one sector that we explore. The other one is, of course, agri-food, because we touch base on it. There's commodities. It's an important section of trade between Canada and China. But China remains a manufacturing powerhouse in multiple sectors, right? And that can benefit a lot of Canadian companies to find great quality products that they can use either in their productions in terms of or selling to Canada as well at affordable costs. So this is also the Canton Fair every year plays a significant role in driving that forward as well. So we're working a lot in promoting that platform. And I would say for Canadian businesses, one key sector that I would like to touch base on is consumer products. We've seen Canadian companies having significant sales here. We think that Canadian companies are well positioned to take advantage of the new wave of consumers in China that is changing, that is adapting, that is more lifestyle, that is more on outdoor activities, that is more around nutraceuticals, good quality products. And if we look at our most recent business sentiment survey, the Canada brand is the most positive aspect of that survey. One third of our companies are leveraging the maple leaf in their branding. Two thirds of them are saying that it's a positive impact on their business in China. So for us, it's really to try also to wave that Canadian flag to say, hey, there's a lot of Canadian brands. You don't even know they're Canadians, right? But we often position Canada in China as their best kept secret because a lot of companies, a lot of people don't know they're Canadian companies, and it might be aligned with Canadian values of being humble, down to earth. So we're trying to be the less humble of the pack to really promote and try to advance that as well. And other sectors, education as well, logistics, and we work with 20 different sectors, right? So I know I'm just touching base, but we don't have all this, so I'm not going to go through the 20 different sectors.
Do you have a direct line of communication for companies to be able to access Dashan to be a spokesperson for their products or services?
Well, Dashan has been at our AGM last year, right? So,
oh, really?
We have colleagues. Yes, we have colleagues that are in touch with him. He's working with some Canadian companies. I think at the end of the day, we can do the introduction, but it's up to the company to see if they have the budget also for Dashan. He's a superstar in China, right?
He is such a superstar in China. And it's amazing, like, especially in the north, if you're getting into taxis and you're like, oh, what's a da-da-da, man? You know, they'll say either the weather's great or something like that, but they'll oftentimes dive right into the, oh, Dashan, you know, something like this, because that's his Chinese name. He's a Canadian. He's super famous in China, and all the Chinese love him. It's a crazy fun story. Now, looking ahead, and you mentioned the AGM, let's talk about the upcoming CCBC AGM. Why is it an important event for the members, for the community, for broader Canada, China business community? Why is this something to really look forward to and potentially everybody should attend?
Well, year after year, it's the largest business event promoting business between Canada and China. And as we discuss, it's going to be our third AGM post-COVID. So 2 years ago, we had the first AGM that was larger, I would say, where we had people traveling from Canada. Every year, we have approximately 100 people coming from Canada for the AGM. Now, why it's important? Number one, this year, it's right before CIIE and right after APEC. So it's on November 3rd, which means that there's going to be a lot of people in the region. And we choose that date so people can also engage at CIIE. And you're familiar with CIIE. It's such an important and great platform for consumer products and also services and different sectors to really show their commitment to the Chinese market, to really promote the products in the Chinese market. So number one, I think it's, I would say, is the period of the year where a lot of people are coming to China and they can use the AGM as a platform to engage, right? And to go to the seafood show that is a few days before that. FHC also in Shanghai will be after that. APEC in Korea. So for us, it's really to provide Canadian companies doing business in China with an excuse to be in China. Number one. Number two, we will talk a lot about what are the new policies, what are the key sectors in the business forum in the morning, right? So we're going to talk about financial sectors. We're going to talk about energy and energy transition. We're going to be talking also about agri-food. But there's going to be also round tables in the afternoon talking about what it's like to do business in China, talking about consumer products. So there's different types of engagements throughout the day as well that can be beneficial to different companies too. We're going to have the education forum in that on that afternoon too. We're going to have two missions coming from Canada. So it's just a great platform where there's so many people that you can network with, that you can learn from, that you can engage, that you can drive business with. And they're all going to be in the same room at night, and you will have the opportunity to shake hands with them. And there's going to be an after AGM cocktail, and there's going to be more networking opportunity this year than there's been in previous years. So for any Canadian companies that are either curious and want to learn, or trying to find their business partners, or just trying to find the platforms to invite their partners in China to show, to treat them and to show their engagement in the bilateral business relation, the AGM is the greatest platform for that. So I would say this is why it's important. So number one, I think it's the timing. Number two, it's the platform. And number three, it drives opportunities.
Will there be Maotai?
No, but there will be amazing Canadian wine.
There's no Baijiu, I'm coming. That's my only stipulation, though.
No problem. But if you want a bottle of Baijiu, we can manage that.
No. I bought one back then, and I probably still have it today. Cannot do the Baijiu. Is Maotai still one of the most premium brands, though? Is it the higher end?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It is still the bottle that people are very proud to show to you when you go to a business dinner.
Yeah. For those who aren't aware, Maotai is a brand. Baijiu is the liquid jet fuel. It is the rice wine that is extremely popular in China. And Maotai is just, it's like a Johnny Walker Blue or, something very prestigious. Okay. Last question. For Canadian companies listening to the episode, they're considering coming to China. They're trying to figure out, is it worth it? Can I do it? Is now the right time? All of these questions going through there. What is the advice that you would give to them about navigating the Chinese market and the current environment?
The advice would be engage, engage, engage. Come, take time to visit, observe, because you hear so many things, right? You will hear so many things in medias from different perspectives. Come here and make up your own mind, because you understand better what your business is all about. And nobody can understand it as well as you do. So if you come here and you go underground and you meet with people and you observe and you see how the market is evolving and you learn about policies, you will be able to take the best decision for your business. Maybe you don't have the budget right now to develop your operations here. Maybe you don't have, maybe you're not big enough, or maybe you're ready. Right? But only you can decide that. And for us, it's really to facilitate that. It's really to help you meet the right people, engage. We're going to be there to support you. So number one would be engage. Number two would be observe. Number three would be relentless, because it's a very, very competitive market. You need to work extremely hard to be competitive here. And that's something that I love about China. It really forces you to constantly improve yourself, right? Even me, myself, being here in Beijing, I need to work all the time. There's always something new happening. There's always something that I need to put my hands on and trying to understand. And just being surrounded by people that are hardworking, it's very motivating. So if you spend time here, be relentless and just go 100%. I would say this is my third advice. And my fourth advice would be talk to the right people. Right? You often hear somebody who says, I'm an expert on China. They haven't stepped in China in the last 5 years. Well, the reality is that China has changed so much. Every year, China is changing so rapidly. So for me, when I spent 2 years in Canada with CCBC and I came back, so many things have changed, right? And how do I stay on top of it? How do I understand what are those changes? And what I observe is people who talk to the right people often better positioned to succeed, right? So these are a few advice that I would give to companies that are exploring the Chinese market.
Okay. David Perez de Rossier, thank you very, very much for coming on the show. He is the director of the Beijing chapter of the Canada-China Business Council, and we really appreciate your time today. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
Thanks, everybody who's listening. Please feel free to subscribe. Leave us a review if you want to get in touch. If you've got a suggestion or maybe a guest opportunity for the show, just reach out to us at podcast@wpic.co. Now, from me, from David, and from everybody at the team of the negotiation, thanks very much for listening and or watching, and we'll see you next time.
Growing a company is hard. Doing it in a foreign market, exponentially so. The best piece of advice I can give you is not to do it alone. When you start looking at the Asia-Pacific region for further expansion possibilities, and I sincerely hope you do, make sure you choose the right partners to do it with. My good friends at WPIC Marketing and Technologies have almost 20 years of experience helping brands, just like yours, enter China, Japan, and Southeast Asia. I hope you enjoyed this episode of The Negotiation, and if you're interested in being a guest or want to connect with me or any of our team, please reach out to us at podcast@wpic.co, and be sure to rate, comment, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.